Mary and I tend to do most of our grocery shopping at three grocery stores, Lowe's, Food Lion, Harris Teeter. We live over near Route 55, over in Apex, and those three stores are right there on 55. And we use them for different reasons. I love the pretzels at Lowe's. We're low on pretzels, I'm off to Lowe's. Food Lion's nearby. When we run out of milk or something and meat, we run over there. I probably tend to do a lot of the shopping at Harris Teeter, which is on 55. In our household, Mary and I have this kind of rhythm to our days that I do a lot of the grocery shopping. Mary doesn't get into like 6:30, 7 at night. Oftentimes, most nights I have nighttime commitments here at the parish, appointments or committee meetings, various things. So a lot of times I text Mary sometime during the day, dinner, you know, and figure out what we're going to do that night. That's kind of how we think things through. And I'll go out and get things. You know. One of the things that's been said about the area we live in, if you go to a supermarket and you forget to get something and you're driving home, you don't really need to turn around and go back. You could just stop on the other supermarket you're going to pass as you're on your way home. You know, it seems like there's a supermarket every 100 yards or so that are here. But I tend to go to the Harris Teeter one because I know the aisles pretty well. I can move through there pretty quickly. Lowe's, I then know, is my second best known store. So I tend to do a lot of the shopping. And the rhythm is I usually go at the end of the day, pick something up for a day or two for dinner, for meals. And I do a lot of the cooking in our house, actually, or the preparation of meals. I don't know if you can call it cooking. But prepare something for us to eat. Sometimes Mary and I will eat together. Or sometimes, you know, I'll eat, and then I have to head out, and Mary gets in, and there's something there for her to eat. When I go to the supermarket, I know there's different styles of food shopping. You know, there are some folks who are there with the wagon, and it is just overflowing, full. And I think there's different styles of going to shop for food. Some folks go like once a week, get everything. They got it all planned out what the meals are going to be, and you get everything for those meals. I notice when I look around, it's mostly younger folks, usually younger people with children. You know, it's not a lot of time to get to the supermarket in the course of a week, and loading up that wagon with lots of things. There's also those who shop in a different way. I think I'm in that category. Maybe we're more like grazers. You know, we pick up a few things on Monday, and gets us through Monday or two. We go back on Tuesday or Wednesday. You're always buying just a few things, and the wagon is not usually that full, except when you have to buy paper towels and other kinds of paper products. But usually it's not as heavily filled. So when I'm at Harris Teeter, the folks who have those big wagons filled with things, they tend to go right into the line where someone kind of checks them out. I tend to veer over to the self-checkout. You ever been to the self-checkout? Move through that faster. Now, in the self-checkout aisle, there's usually an attendant who stands at a sort of a computer-like thing, and as people are going through the self-checkout, she's just there to make sure everything goes smoothly. And for years, I've gone to the checkout, and I swipe my membership card. It's important to let someone know I'm a member of this store. You know, you sweep it through. And then you begin to check your food. Adds it up. You press that button, ready to pay my order. It comes up. Are you gonna pay with debit, credit, cash? You make your choice. Then comes up this sign that says, do you have any coupons? If you have coupons, you sweep those through. And you usually pay for your order. For years, though, I noticed that occasionally, and I began to realize it was on Thursdays, that another thing came up after coupons. And I would go through my membership card, check my food, ready to pay, debit, credit, cash, any coupons I had. The next thing that came up was, are you eligible for the senior 60 or over discount? Now, for years, I would just go, no, move on. But this past June, I became a member of that illustrious club. And it was just a few weeks, after my birthday, I found myself in Harris Teeter on a Thursday. It was a day I was very excited about. And so I go in and I do my membership card, I click the food through, I press pay for my order, had no coupons that day, and it came up, are you eligible for the 60 or over senior discount? And I just went, yes, yes. And it clicked. And the next thing came up, which I've never seen before, because I've never clicked yes before. It said, please show some sort of ID to the attendant. So I reach into my wallet. I'm picking out my wallet. And the girl behind the booth says to me, oh, that's okay, sir. Go right ahead. And I was like, oh. This isn't how I had imagined it. You know, I thought she'd say, oh, you can't be that. You can't be 60. Let me see that driver's license. But she didn't need to see it. And no one's ever asked for it since. And so I'm walking out to the car, and I texted Mary. I said, I am so depressed. This is like, I had a different image of what this was going to look like and sound like. So when I look in the mirror, I still think I'm 26, you know. Or maybe 46, maybe 56. You know, we see ourselves in a certain way. Great spiritual writers tell us, there's a quote that some spiritual writers have shared that says, people really don't see things as they are, but rather people see things as they are. People don't see things as they are, but people see things as they are. Does that resonate with you at all? What's suggested by that is we don't always see. I mean, the Harris Teeter story is just an anecdote, and that's kind of a lighthearted kind of a thing. But on a deeper level, are there things in our lives that we just don't see as they are? You know, we see things from where we are, from our perspective, from the way we see things. And we can get very, very used to seeing things from that perspective. And sometimes it's either an event in our life, a moment in our life, a person in our life, or just being committed to some sort of a journey that we begin to move from that. To me, that's one of the most powerful messages of Jesus. It's one of the most powerful messages of the gospel. Jesus is continually inviting people to see things from a different place. Jesus is continually challenging people to move in their life to a new perspective, a different perspective. You know, you don't hear a lot in the gospel of Jesus just saying, you're doing a good job, just continue as you are. At least that doesn't get written in the gospels. But what we find Jesus doing all the time is inviting people to walk with him, journey with him, and open themselves to a new way of seeing, new way of understanding, new way of perceiving the world around us. In both our gospel reading and that reading from Hebrews this morning, I kind of hear a message, and the gospel reading is a little bit complicated, but there's a few parts to that that are not necessarily all connected, but one of the messages is that to be ready, to be watchful, to be prepared, if something is about to happen. And it's not so much that God is going to come and make things happen, but rather we're going to be invited and called to engage in something, to make something happen, to make a change happen in our world. That's what Jesus is always doing. And his parables and his teaching is always calling people to that. Come with me. I'm not going to come in here and just make the world different. You're going to come with me, and we're going to do this together. I want your life to change. I want you to experience transformation in your life so you can witness to that and make a difference in this world. And that reading from Hebrews is a call to reflect on this faith journey that we walk together. In that reading from Hebrews, if you look at it, I don't know how many times, it must be four or five, six times, it says, by faith, such and such, by faith, such and such, by faith, such and such, by faith. The author is really repeating that phrase over and over and making a very strong reference to the person who's considered the ancestor of faith, and that's Abraham. Now, both Abraham and Sarah, their experience was quite different from mine and Harris Teeter. They actually saw themselves as being too old and too settled for anything new. they had come to a point in their lives where they just felt it was time to maybe just look to the past and appreciate it. But God comes into their life in the story from Genesis, Genesis 12. God comes to Abraham and Sarah and invites them to walk this incredible journey into a new promise, a new land, a new understanding, a new place. And they go. Faith for Abraham and Sarah, I've shared this many times over the years, faith for Abraham and Sarah was a letting go, not a holding on. Faith for Abraham and Sarah was moving from where they were to where they were not yet. Faith for Abraham and Sarah was this willingness to let go. So often when we think of faith, and at times it's a good way of saying it, faith sometimes is something I hold on to. And there are times for that. But I'm very much drawn to the idea that faith, in many ways, is about a letting go. A letting go of perhaps the perceptions and ways that we see things and just don't want to step out of. We feel safer in here. I've worked this out. It makes sense. When God calls me to see things in a different way, that can be scary. And yet what I find in Scripture is that call to step out of ourselves, to see things in a different way. That young attendant at Harris Teeter, that's all right, go right ahead. I mean, that's a silly example, but on a deeper level, are we being called out sometimes to see the way we see ourselves and see the world around us differently? As we gather together today, we continue to walk a journey. We walk this journey together. And we find ourselves in the life of our parish at a time of need for healing, a need to share our grief at changes that have taken place, a time to share with each other and honor each other as we walk through this healing process together. But we need to continue to walk. We need to let go and open up to others and share this journey together as we are called to be as a people. And so we gather together today to gather and be fed and nourished, but by faith, continue to open ourselves to the vision and the dream that God has, not only for this community of St. Paul's, but for each and every single one of us in the ability we have to let go of things and let God become more a part of our lives. Let us gather, but let us go forth in faith into the world to make a difference.